Nun, second parak of Nesiva Tshuva. Midas HaTshuva, Kasher Yeshtare Ta'adam Me'avonosav Sha'asa. Of course, everyone knows that a Tshuva is a multi-step process. In Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva, he spells out many, many principles, what he calls the Ikarim, in the first Shar. And he says that Ha'ikar HaRishon, the very first principle of Tshuva, is Charat. That's what the Maharal is saying here. Midas HaTshuva, if I had to define the essence of Tshuva, Kasher Yeshtare Ta'adam Me'avonosav Sha'asa. I can't even begin to get serious about tshuva if I don't regret what I've done until now. How can I even begin to discuss change? How can I even begin to apologize? How can I even begin to express a feeling of desiring to return if I can't let go of what I'm holding on to, that I don't feel badly about where I am right now? So the Maharal says, Midas HaTshuva Kasher Yeshtare Ta'av Adam Me'avonosav Sha'asa. When a person feels sincere regret, again, Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva, in the first Shari, he says this is the first principle of Tshuva, Charata. V'shavel Hashem Yisbarach b'chol libo. And he returns to Hashem with all of his heart. And again, that's not just the Maharal speaking poetically, it's what the Torah says. V'shavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, with all of your heart. Pasuk in the Tzavim. V'al yitame Adam. Now, a person might raise the following question. Maharal, we already alluded in the first paragraph that Maharal was going to ask this question. He's going to come back to this question several times. Me'eza tam yawil ha-tshuva achar shekvar chata. The irrational nature of tshuva. How is it possible, this is what the Mesilas Yesharim discusses in the fourth paragraph. How is it possible, Noda Bihuda has an interesting tshuva about tshuva, and he discusses this point. How does tshuva work? Says the Maharal, after a person has done a chait, so me'eza tam yo'ol tshuva. How do you go back in time and reverse a process that's already been done? And what the Maharal is going to discuss today is the difference, the remarkable difference between the Beis Din Shalmata and the Beis Din Shalmala. Beis Din Shalmata only has a certain view of reality. Beis Din Shalmala has a much more complex view of reality. V'arei be'Beis Din Shalmata. Let's take Beis Din in this world. Achar she'asa chet, she'chayev misa. Person did an avera. He was found guilty in a Jewish court of law. And he's chayev misa. Av she'anu yodim she'kvar she'a b'tshuva. Even if we know he's done tshuva. Now again, I'm not sure how we know how a person's done tshuva. But let's say we have reason to believe that this person has done complete tshuva. And he's completely changed himself from the person who committed that crime that's chayev misa. What's the halacha? So we let him go? He walks? Eino pater min amisa, says the Maharal. Right? It's very clear, the sugya Maseches Makos, other places, that just because a person's done tshuva doesn't mean that the Beis Din Shalmata, the court, the human court of law, can exempt him from the punishment that he was deserving of. Right? The Noda Bihuda writes in that tshuva. There's a tshuva from the Noda Bihuda. Who is the Noda Bihuda? What was his name? Rabbi Yecheskel Landau. Yecheskel Landau writes in his Tshuvos, in Orach Chaim Simen Lamed Hei, he says, again, if a person does tshuva, so we know he doesn't really deserve this misa anymore, he's corrected the mistake, so why can't the Beis Din Shalmata let him walk? So he says, it must be, it's a Gzeras HaKasuf, that there has to be a Gzeras HaKasuf, that even if Beis Din Shalmata knows he did tshuva, right, we have to still punish him. Why? Because otherwise, any person who's chayav misa in a court of law says, "No, the Bihuda, what's he going to do?" They'll say to the basin, "I did tshuva." And they'll say, "Okay, we can't punish you anymore." So that would create a complete hafkeiros in society. So it's exeris akasa that even if the guy does tshuva, Beis Din Shalmata has to do its part. But we also understand more deeply that Beis Din Shalmata can only see things in a certain way. Beis Din Shalmata can't look into his heart. Beis Din Shalmata can't be makai in the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in the second parak, that the Yodea Ta'alumos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks in his heart and says, this person is real. So Beis Din Shalmata has to punish him. Even if he did tshuva, says the Maharal, he's not potter from Misa. So how does tshuva work at all? If Beis Din Shalmata can't renegotiate his sentence, so how does tshuva work? How do we have the ability to renegotiate things that are done? What's done is done, says the Maharal. V'davar zeh mipnei. Ki ein Beis Din Shalmalo Beis Din Shalmata Shavim. We have to obviously understand that the way that we're being judged on high and the way that we have to function as a society on earth are two very different tracks. Ki based in Shamala Kamo, Shetachas Yodam Ara, Shedonin Alara, Kach Donin Alatov Gamkin. The based in Shamala sees the big picture. The based in Shamala can see the Ra, the negative, and can issue punishments based on one's behavior in the negative. And so too, the based in Shamala, from that higher viewpoint, from that higher vantage point, can see the Tov that a person does as well. So based in Shamala can look down at the person who's done tshuva and is able to say about such a person he has corrected his ways. So based in Shamala, the based in Shamayim can say he walks, he goes free. That based in Shamala can punish and based in Shamala can reward. You don't have a concept. It's a funny thing. But you don't have a concept of based in Shalmata giving out rewards. Right? Think about that. You're in yeshiva, you're trying to get a guy into it. Shana Aleph, right? So the yeshiva offers all sorts of incentives. Right? And then you come to YU and they offer you cash incentives to learn, finish Maseches Sanhedrin. That's very generous. That's outside really the jurisdiction of what based in Shalmata is supposed to be involved in. We don't give out rewards in this world. Beis HaShalmata is only in charge of punishments. Beis HaShalmata, unfortunately, can only see the negative behavior. Right? But in Shemayim, they can see everything. And the same way that Beis HaShalmala can give out rewards, Beis HaShalmala can also waive punishments. It sees the full picture of the person. Aval Beis HaShalmata in mashkichan al zeh, v'donin asa adam al ra bilvad. But the lower basin of this world can only see the negative behavior. The negative behavior. This, by the way, answers something we encountered in last week's parsha. Everyone asks the question, what do we do to the Ben Sora Mora? We put him to death. Why do we put him to death? For his terrible crimes. He's a little bar mitzvah boy, like we learned in Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel said it's so terrible because he undermined this racious of his life, so to speak, the starting point of his entrance into mitzvos. But contrast the Ben Sora Mora, who we say is what? Nerag al shem sofo, kill him now based on what he's going to do in the future. Right? Oh, everyone contrasts that with who? With what? Who do we contrast it with? Yishmael. What do we find by Yishmael? By Yishmael, despite the fact that Yishmael in the future, till this very day, is going to give a lot of trouble to Klal Yisrael. Right? Yishmael and the descendants of Yishmael are going to cause tremendous hardship for the Jewish people. We're grappling with it right now. Yet, when Yishmael was in dire straits, and Yishmael was on the verge of dying, right? And Yishmael was pardoned, he was saved, he was revived, because he was judged, ba'asher hu sham, he was judged on his behavior at that time. Hashem didn't look into the future and see Rahman al-Islam. Rahman al-Islam, some Russia, some suicide bomber. If Hashem would have looked at that, then Yishmael wouldn't have made it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged Yishmael Ba'asher Hu Sham. So what's the pshat? Everyone asks. Ben Sora Umora. We don't say Ba'asher Hu Sham where he's holding now. We say Nerag Al Shem Sofo. We'll kill him based on what he's going to do in the future. Yishmael, right now he's not so bad, so let's judge him based on now. So what's the pshat? The answer is this Mahara. Based in Shamala versus based in Shalmata. The Ben Sora Umora has been found guilty in what court? In a court of based in Shalmata. Beis HaShalmata only can see a certain depth. Beis HaShalmata sees this kid is trouble. And again, the Gemara says, it's Sanhedrin, maybe it never happened, it's such an obscure case. But Beis HaShalmata sees it in one way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Beis HaShalmala, right, is able to look in some ways at the big picture. And though, even though the big picture of Yishmael is in fact not very good, right, but there's a broader perspective. And therefore the Ben Sora Mora is found guilty. And Yishmael, from the heavenly perspective, when he was being decided at the time if Yishmael would recover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to continue to go on at that time. But again, this is the clear contrast between Beis HaShalmala and Beis HaShalmata. V'davar zeh bi'arnu b'prakim etzol mekach shochad. This is what I explained in Pirkei Avos, says the Maharal, with regard to taking a bribe. Right? The Maharal tries to explain why there's a prohibition of bribing a Beis HaShalmata, but tshuva is essentially bribing the Beis HaShalmala, and why that's not considered bribe. Okay, so Ayin in the Maharal in his commentary on Pirkei Avos. Amnam. Everyone see where we are? Amnam. Is it a new paragraph? Amnam. Ki lefi hadvarim asher amarnu, based on what we've just explained, ki hatshuva hu shayach mitzad Hashem Yisbarach dafka, that tshuva is something that, again, only a Kadosh Baruch Hu, from his perspective above, is able to understand. Ki hu bilvad mekabel shavim, that Hashem and only Hashem has the ability to see with enough depth to invite the person back. Ulefichach, based in shamala, dafka menakel shavim, velo based in shamata. Ki hatshuva shayach el Hashem Yisbarach. Tshuva is something that Hashem Himself offers you, like we saw in the Yerushalmi. Ki mitzad Hashem Yisbarach is tshuva el adam. Lo zula zekla. Ve'lakach timtza tshuva based in shamala, velo based in shamata. Ve'adrabba, and like we saw until now, from this world's perspective, hachachma omeres chatam tiradei fra'a. And Nevuah says, Yerchayev Misa, Ve'ein ha-tshuva rak mitzad Hashem Yisbarach, U'lefichach based in shalamata, Ein din shalahem mitzad ha-tshuva. Okay? Good? Everyone good? Based in shamala, based in shalamata. Okay, says the Gemara in Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Now this is the key piece for today. So listen to this mashal carefully and understand again the difference of a person who shows up in the right way during these days and the person who tragically stands off on the side. Says Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said to his Talmidim, Shuv Yom Echa Lifnei Misascha. Do tshuva one day before you die. Sounds like a good deal. Right? Do whatever you want your whole life and then do tshuva at the last minute. Shalu Talmidim Rabbi Eliezer, so the Talmidim said, Rabbi, V'chi Adam Yodei Eiza Yom Yamos. Does a person know when he's going to die? I can just, you know, be casual about my life until that time comes, and then I'll get really serious on the last day of my life. So obviously Rabbi Eliezer says, my dear Talmidim, Amar Lahem, V'chol Shekein Yashuv Hayom, Shema Yamos Lamachar. Rabbi Eliezer says, what I'm really saying to you then, since you don't know when you're going to die, always be in a state of tshuva. Tshuva is not only permissible in Chodesh Elul or in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Believe it or not, tshuva is a mitzvah all year round. Okay, so he says you don't know when you're going to die, so you should constantly be doing tshuva with the fear that, God forbid, this could be the last day of your life. Always be ready. V'nimtza kol yamav b'tshuva. Always be prepared. V'af Shlomo Amar b'chachmaso. Pasuk we mentioned earlier, Shlomo said in his great wisdom in Koheles Perek Tes, v'chol eis, at all times, you v'gadecha levonim, and make sure your clothing is white, be clean, be ready. V'shemen al rosh chal yechzar. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai added a mashal. Mashal la'adam shezimein avadav l'suda. Or maybe mashal la'melech in some versions. A king invited his servants to a beautiful feast. V'lo kovalem zman. Imagine, get an invitation in the mail from the king. The king says, I'm throwing a gala event. It's called for whatever time it says, and it doesn't say the date. You don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be at 8 p.m. at, you know, some day in the near future. So the pikhim, the wise people, shebehem kashtu asatzvan. The people who are smart decided, let's get ready right away. Maybe 8 p.m. means 8 p.m. tonight. Maybe the king's meant the party is today, is tonight. V'yashua pesach beis hamelech, and they got dressed and they went and they stood outside the palace. Amru klum chaser lebeis hamelech. Is the king lacking anything? What does the king need to rent tables and chairs? You don't think he has that? You don't think he has that already in his possession? You think the king needs to sit down and negotiate with a caterer? You don't think he has that all worked out already? Klum chaser lebeis hamelech. If the king says there's going to be a party, that means the party is happening imminently. Be ready for the party. But the foolish ones got the invitation and said, Nat, you want to take the king some time to get ready for the party? He's not going to throw the party tonight. Maybe he meant, you know, this time, tomorrow night, the next night, next week. Certainly not tonight. We don't have to rush. Can there be a suda without the efforts? Even the king's going to take him some time to get the suda ready. All of a sudden the palace gates swing open and the king says, "No, everyone come on in." So, the wise ones amongst them are ready, they're standing, they're dressed, ready to enjoy. Pichim shebehem nichlesu lefnei ha-melech, kesheim mekushatin, they're all dressed, they look so beautiful. Va'atipshim shebehem nichlesu lefanav kesheim luchlachin. And the word gets out to the fools who are each one at his trade, each one at his business, all dirty, unprepared, not properly dressed, not showered, schwitzing from work, comes running to the king's suda, all dirty. Samach HaMelech Lekras Pichim. The Melech looks at the wise servants and he says to them, Lekras Lekras Tipshin. And he starts screaming, he's so angry towards the foolish ones. Amar, the king says, they're all standing there. You have some guys in, you know, tuxedos, bow ties, you have other guys in their greasy hands, car mechanics, you know, coming straight from the job. Amar Halalu Shekishtu Asasa Lesuda. Those of you who are dressed, who've come to the palace in the right way, Yashru V'yochlu V'yishtu, sit down, enjoy, feast. Halalu Shalokashtu Asasa Lesuda, Yamdu V'yiru. Those of you who are not yet prepared for the Suda, stand on the side and just watch. Chosno Shere V'meir Haya Omer Mishumer V'meir. Halavayishu Halalu Omdim V'nirim K'mishamshim. That's not so bad if they're forced to stand on the side, because what are people going to think? They must be the waiters. At least they have a shaykhus to the Suda, right? They'll be able to, you know, grab something to eat in the kitchen behind the scenes. At least they have some connection there. What's much worse? Says Rabbi Meir, Ela Eilu Ve'Eilu Yoshim, says the king to everyone, everyone sit down. Everyone sit down at the table. Those of you who are prepared, Halalu Ochlim, Halalu Re'evim. Those of you who came in the right way, sit down and eat. Those of you, right, who are not prepared, sit at the table and watch others eat. And it's clear that what? That's a punishment. You can't pretend, oh, I'm just a waiter. The king wants to make it awkward and uncomfortable for this individual. Halalu Shosim, Halalu Tzmeim. These ones will drink, the others will sit there, right, with their palates dry, thirsting. Shenamar, as it says in Yeshaya, Ko Amar Hashem, Hinei Abada Yochelu Vatem Tir Avu. Those who are my servants will eat, and the others will be hungry. Hinei Abada Yishtu Vosam Titzmu. Hinei Abada Yaronu Mituv Lev. The ones who are my servants will rejoice from their heart being satisfied and filled. Vatem Titzaku Mikaev Lev. And those of you who do not come prepared, those who are not called my servants, are going to sit there in pain at a missed opportunity. Says the Maharal, the Yesh Lisha. Lama Amar Rabbi Elazar Baach Lisha. What did Rabbi Elazar say to his students? What did he say to his students? He said to them, you should do tshuva one day before you die. What did the students say back to Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi, we don't know when we're going to die. What does Rabbi Elazar say back to them? You should do tshuva basically every day. Says the Maharal, so why didn't Rabbi Eliezer say right away to his students, do tshuva every day? Why do you have to treat, why do you want to have a shakal v'tari with them? There had to be this give and take. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer just say what he wanted to say? Says the Maharal, a very choshev yisod in tshuva. Look what he writes. Lama amar Rabbi Eliezer b'hach lishna. Why did Rabbi Eliezer say it? In this roundabout language of shuv yom echad lefnei misascha. Have a leila meimar, he could have said straight, v'shuv kol yom echa. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer just say straight to his students, be in a state of tshuva every day? Why do you have to hint to them, do tshuva at the last minute of your life? Because Rabbi Eliezer was teaching them an additional level of what it means to do tshuva. Because what would have happened if Rabbi Eliezer just said straight to his students, do tshuva every day? And you didn't do tshuva every day. And now it's the last day of your life. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses you with the peace of mind to want to do tshuva. What would you say to yourself? It's too late. I didn't do tshuva all these years. My Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer, Ben Horkinus, told me do tshuva every day. And this day went by, and that day went by, and that day went by. So why did Rebbe Eliezer put it in the language of shuv yom echad lifnei misascha, do tshuva at the last minute of your life? Because Rabbi Eliezer was being ramis to his students, of course you should do tshuva every day. He set them up for the give and take, for the question, the shakal v'tarya. But he also wanted to teach them that a person could be called yam of chote. Don't think, ain't a kana elav, I can't do tshuva at the last minute. That even if you were a chote, a sinner, your entire life, Yeshlo Lashuv Af Yom Echel of Nemi Saso Umoil Lo Hachuva. It is possible for a person to live a life of sin and to do tshuva at the last minute. And in case you think, again, that Rabbi Eliezer and the Maharal are speaking in an exaggerated fashion, if you think this is the language of hyperbole, this is not meant to be taken literally, the Rambam paskins this way. The Rambam paskins this way. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph writes, Afilu Over Kol Yamav, Vasa tshuva biyo misaso umes b'tshuvaso kol avonosav nimchalim. The Rambam says, truto k'mashmo, as the Mishnah says, it's based on the Gemara Kedushin Daf Mem. That the same way that if a person regrets all the good things he did at the last minute, he can lose all of his chuyos. That's a very scary thought. So too, if a person regrets living a life of sin, living a life of, you know, of doing what I want, when I want, how I want, at the last minute, if he's fortunate enough to come to a state of real tshuva, says the Rambam, kol avonosav nimchalin, it will in fact work. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer was hinting to his students. That even if you sin your whole life, mo'ilo atshuva l'fichach amr b'zeh halasha. Yes, questions or comments? You're on. You're saying Rabbi Eliezer is focusing too much on leaving this world the right way and not focusing on being in this world in the right way.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Anyone? Yeah?
So it says you don't know when you're going to die, but I think the assumption is you're going to die the next day.
But why is he setting it up that the focus again is making sure, right, that when you get called to the judgment, you'll have the right answers. You'll be prepared. Your lawyer will be ready. Your clothes will be clean. Right, what about living in this world? I'll strengthen your question. There's a famous Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says about Bilam. Right? Bilam said about himself, part of Bilam's tefillah, it's a question whether it was Bilam talking or exactly what, how to understand the pasuk, but let's understand Kipshuto. Bilam says, Tamus nafshi mos yesharim. I want to die the death of the yesharim. Who are the yesharim? Call yourself. Bilam said, I want to die like a righteous person. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says very famously that this is a great perversion, exactly like you're saying, this is a great perversion of how a Jew is supposed to live his life. A Jew is not supposed to merely, you know, do what he wants again and then die in a righteous state. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the following. It's an amazing lashon that he has there. He says, I've heard from certain wicked people. I've had conversations with Rishayim. And they've told me, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, if they could do tshuva and then drop dead on the spot, they would do it. They would be chozer b'tshuva. But the thought of doing tshuva and then having to live with the expectations of the Torah, that's too much. That's what they told him. So some of us want to beat the system exactly in this way. I want to die. Right? That's what Bilam HaRasha said. Tamos nafshi mos yashar. But the ikkar is to live like a yid. The ikkar is to live a life of Torah and mitzvos, where my life is purposeful, not merely to get lucky at the last minute and beat the system. Yeah, see? That, yeah, tshuva me'ava can turn averus into mitzvahs. You're retroactively, your whole life was purposeful. Okay, the truth is part of the answer we're going to see in a moment. Because there's a certain level of tshuva, there's a certain connection between tshuva and dying. We were maramis to it in yesterday's shir, at the end of the first parak, that there's something about the moment where the neshama is freed from the body, right, which is itself a tshuva of sorts, and therefore it's a timely moment for tshuva. So that might be part of the answer as well. Yeah, Rabbi Yitzchak, do you want to say something? Okay, but it's a good question. It does seem that Rabbi Eliezer is highlighting that the ikkar is to give back your neshama with purity. You have a gemara like that above Mitzia also, on the pasuk Baruch Ata Bevoecha, Baruch Ata Betzeisecha. Also seems to highlight the fact you were sent to this world pure, make sure you leave this world pure. What about everything in the middle? That's what the Chiddush HaRim used to say. In the Tfilos HaYom Noran, what does it say? Aldam Yesodo Me'afar, Besofa La'afar. Right? So sometimes we just, you know, we become, well, if we're offer at the beginning, we're offer at the end, I guess we must be offer the whole way. No, he says you should be gold, the whole middle should be gold. Yeah, okay. Person comes from a tipa srucha, like it says in Pirkei Avos, and eventually all of us are going to turn back to dust. But that doesn't mean that the middle should be, you know, anything less than golden. So we got to make life meaningful. So it's an interesting question. But we'll see. Maybe the answer is really based on the next paragraph. I think the Maharal might be answering your question in the next paragraph. It's a very good question, though. Ki rames bazeh davar mufla. Maybe this is the answer to your question. Ki ikra tshuva kodem v'savach l'misaso. Again, if we're supposed to live a life of meaning, right? So then why is it that we're emphasizing tshuva at the last minute? Because there's a certain dimension, there's a certain quality to tshuva that can only be achieved samach l'misasa. Why? And it's not just the fear of death that will bring a person to more sincere tshuva. It's more than that, says Mara. What is death? What's happening? When a person dies, his body returns to dirt, and his neshama, like it says explicit in Kohelas in the 12th parak. What does it say in Kohelas? It says that the ruach returns to God, that the flesh returns to the dirt, but the spirit returns to Hashem. So death is in and of itself, regardless of any kavanah, of any intention, death is itself a form of tshuva. Again, says Maharav, Zemipneki Adam Misaso Royla Shuva Lashem Yisparach Ulefichach. And therefore, if I can capture a feeling of tshuva at the time where my neshama is itself in a state of tshuva, Lefichach Im Shav Kodem Misaso, Ozbe Misaso Shav El Hashem Yisparach Legamri Leos Nishmaso Tzruva V'Devuka Im Hashem Yisparach V'Zeh Yadua. And this is well known, says Maharav. So again, when I'm returning my soul, I should return it with a feeling of returning in a state of tshuva. Makes a lot of sense how those two components, how those two midos, so to speak, come together. Okay? Continuing again in the explanation of the Gemara, that Gemara in Shabbos. Then the Gemara quoted Shlomo Melech, who says, Bechol eis, Masha Amar, Vechein Amar Shlomo, Bechol eis, Yu Begadecha Levanim, Veshemen Al Rosh Al Yechzar, Nira Sha'amar Zeh Shlomo, Keneged Bnei Adam, Shechatu Ba'asei Velo Sasei. Shlomo Melech is telling us you have to be prepared in both directions. You have to be prepared with a proper amount of mitzvah saseh, and you have to properly distance yourself from lo saseh. This is actually a very important point. Because sometimes we think, you know, there's a certain lo saseh that I can't seem to conquer, a certain yitzhara that I'm grappling with. Right? The lashon hara is just too hard to conquer, shmir senayim is too hard to conquer, this or that is too hard. We have certain lo saseh that we feel very attached to, and we try to compensate by what? Instead of confronting that los asay, what do? We try to do more asay to kind of, you know, balance it out. It doesn't work like that. I can't fix my los asays with asays. That's actually a chesed that Hashem does for us, that He doesn't allow us to cash in our mitzvahs to pay off our averos. That actually works in our favor. But Shlomo Melech is saying in this pasuk, make sure that your clothing is white, and make sure that oil is not lacking from your head. What does that mean? Nira, Sha'amar Zeh Shlomo, Keneged Bnei Adam Shechatu Ba'asei V'lo Saseh. Shlomo Melech is saying, make sure your clothing are clean, that you don't have lo saseh, and make sure they have oil on your head, that's mitzvah saseh. Ki Adam Achote B'lo Saseh. When a person does, Averos, Hu Mitai V'atzmo B'Averos, he's made himself repulsive with sin. V'nikra Shebegaldim Shalom Uluch Lachim B'Tzoa Harbe. His clothing has become filthy. Umi Shalo Kiya Mitzvah Saseh. If you haven't done a mitzvah saseh, we don't say you're dirty from that. You don't become dirty by not doing mitzvah saseh. What do you have? What is your state? Lo nikra shebegadim shalom ulochlachim bechet v'tzawa. Sharei lo asadam. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything. You were passive. Rak shenikra shechiser atzom min hakadusha el yona. But you missed out on an opportunity to anoint yourself, so to speak, with something holy. So says Shlomo Melech, hey ma mitzvos. And therefore, says the pasuk, "V'zenikra shemin mi'al roshcha al yechzar." Make sure the oil is not lacking from your head. If you don't do mitzvah saseh, then you're not pouring the holy oil on your head. Pouring holy oil on your head is what we do to a melech, right? Shemin is used to be moshech as a melech, like the Mishnah says in Horios, the Gemara's discussion there on Daf Yud Aleph, that a king is the pasuk in Chumash. A king is anointed with oil, right? A king receives his kedusha el yona by pouring oil on his head. So says Shlomo Melech, make sure you also pour mitzvos on your head. Make sure you don't miss out on those opportunities. The shemen brings kedusha. Vayidei shemekayim mitzvah saseh nikra sha'od mekabel tosefes kedusha. Shemen's an amazing thing. Shemen's a very amazing thing. The Sfarim point out, right, that the letters shin, mem, and nun, shemen, same letters as neshama, same as the number shmona. What do all these things have in common? All the malam and ateva. They're all things that rise up. That's why if you take oil, why is it? You take oil, you mix it in with water, the oil will always separate and rise up. Why?
How does oil know how to rise above?
So you all give me a scientific answer. But what's the real answer? It's based on its name. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says, Brachos Dav Zayin. Minayin Deshmei Garim. How do you know the name of something causes and shapes its reality? Shemen is from the world of Shmona. It's from that which is Lamala Menateva. It's connected to the Neshama. It rises up. It always tries to be bigger and above. That's why the Shemen is placed where on the king? Why do you pour Shemen on his feet? Shemen al Roshcha. Shemen al Roshcha, says Shlomo Melech. Because Shemen by definition is always above. It's Kedusha Elyona. Ulaficha Gamer Akasa. Sha'adam Yircha says Begadav. So make sure you wash your clothing. Shalo Yabaham Lichlochet. Make sure your clothing is free from the dirtiness of sin. And furthermore, says Shlomo Melech, Al Yehei Chaser Mina Kedusha Elyona. He Kedusha Samitzvos. At the same time, make sure that you take care of Asay Tov as well. That you fulfill, you fill your life with Shemen, with Kedusha Elyona, with Mitzvos and Maisim Tov. Ve'ein Zeh below Zeh. Ki Tzrichem Shneim. You need both, says Shlomo Melech. You need a white baguette. Le'labein Bigadav Shalom Yehavim Lichlochein. And furthermore, you need yellow Kedusha Samitzvos. Ve'davar Zeh Mivuar. And this is well known. This is well known. Rashi and Chumash. When Klal Yisrael are told to prepare the Karban Pesach, what does it say? Mishchu u'kachu. What does Rashi say? Mishchu u'kachu. Mishchu yedechem. Remove your hands from Avodah Zarah. And then kachu, take a Karban for Hashem. We always have to live with that combination of Sor Meirah v'Aseh Tov. Constantly cleansing our clothing to make sure that any dirt that's attached itself to us is removed. And then pursuing, in a positive sense, the Kedushas HaMitzvos. Okay? Let's just do a drop more, Chevra. Let's just get to the Mashal. We'll finish this piece from the Gemara. Okay? Let's just finish this last piece. V'Amar Mashal. Where are we? V'Amar Mashal. Where? Peshkof Nun Aleph. Left paragraph. In the middle. Oh. Mashal? What's the first word in the line? Ah. The line that begins, okay? In case you lost the place, we're on Kufnun Aleph. In the left column. The line that begins with the word Aliyatsa. Okay, let's just finish this paragraph and then we'll stop. The Amar Mashal. What was the Mashal? This I think is the most chazak part of what we're going to learn today. What was the Mashal, Chevra? The Mashal of a Melech who says to his Avadim, I'm making a party. He doesn't tell them exactly when the party is going to be. And the wise ones are ready. They're standing at the palace gates ready to walk right in. And the foolish ones say, let me just go take care of a little more of my own business. And then they end up showing up late to the party and they maybe are forced to stand on the side or maybe sit at the table and not eat. What is this Mashal trying to tell us? V'amar Mashal v'chulu. U'midavar zeh yesh lomod. Davar amok gadol mod. If the Maharal, who is one of the greatest Jewish minds of the last several hundred years, right, certainly in Machshava, his yard site is tomorrow. That's correct. Tonight and tomorrow. That's correct. As is Balshanta's birthday. My wife's birthday. That's why I married her. I said, people said, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for a girl. Because the sin. When I met my wife, I probably haven't even heard of the Balshanta, unfortunately. Okay, but I got lucky, Baruch Hashem. So it's a big celebration tomorrow. Says, oh, good, yeah, Maharal, we have to, it's true, we have to dedicate the yard site share tomorrow. Okay, good. So says the Maharal, this is a Davar Amok Gadol Ma'od. If he's calling it Davar Amok Gadol Ma'od, we should take it seriously. Chevra, listen to this carefully. This could shake a person to do real tshuva. We learn from this, Sachar HaTzadikim Ba'onash HaRishayim. Zesha Amar, the Melech said, the Mashal says, HaMelech Zimein HaSavadav L'Suda, Klomar, Ki Kol B'nei Adam Muchanam Heim L'Suda HaMelech Mitzad Atzma. The first thing you need to know is that you got an invitation. Every one of us got an invitation. Mitzad Atzma, the way that Hashem created us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made every person Yashar, right, like it says, like Pesukim say in many places, Hashem made man Yashar, V'heim Bikshu Cheshbonos Ravim. We made ourselves crooked. We corrupted ourselves. Hashem made it that it's very realistic for all of us to come to the palace to enjoy the Suda. And more than that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you an invitation. He's calling you, he's inviting you to the Suda. Again, Klomar. Everyone is shaykh to the Suda. From the failure of those who didn't make it at the Suda, but they were also invited to the Suda. There's a famous Ramban in Vayikra Perek Yud Ches, where the Ramban talks about Karis. We don't like to talk about Karis because it scares us. But the Ramban says Karis is a gevaldic thing if you think about it. If you think about the inverse of Karis, it's a gevaldic thing. What does Karis prove? You know, sometimes we wonder why the Torah doesn't speak enough about Olam Haba. Kliyokar has a famous list in Parshas Bechukosai where it gives many reasons why Olam Haba is not described explicitly in the Torah. So why don't we talk more about the neshama? Why in Shema does it say, if you listen to what I do, I'll make it rain and it'll be, right, I'll make your fruit grow and your produce blossom and develop. Why don't we focus on Olam Haba? Why does the Torah not talk about the neshama enough? Says the Maharal, it does. Because if the Torah, sorry, says the Ramban, I'm sorry, in Vayikra Yud Ches. Says the Ramban, every time the Torah talks about Kares, the Torah is also talking about Olam Haba. When the Torah talks about a soul being cut off, it's mashma that if you don't cut yourself off, right, you're in. You're invited. You're a mezuman. The melech invites you to the Suda. That's what Maral is saying here. That kol b'nei adam muchanim im l'suda samelech mitzad atzma. Naturally speaking, you're all going to enjoy the Suda of the tzaddikim. V'kasher ein lo hadavar sheroi u'muchan lo hu b'tzar. But now we understand the punishment of this person who's forced to sit at the table and not enjoy. Any tzaddikim have said that Gan Eden and Gehenim, that heaven and hell are really the same thing. It's just a question of whether or not you're going to be allowed to partake of it, if you're prepared to enjoy it, if you've come in the right way. It's the same thing, you know, you picture the, right? Talks about the various Echalos in Shemayim, the different Mesiftas Darakia. Mesiftas Darakia, the yeshivas in Shemayim. You know what that means? That means if you make yourself a Ben Yeshiva, if you become the type of person who likes learning, who can learn all day and never be bored, so Olam Haba is going to be very geshmak for you. But if you're the type of person who has not developed an appreciation for Torah, right, your Gehenim is going to be that you're stuck in a really long shir. That's what it is. A person who doesn't have a cheshit, if you love Torah, then it's great. Then Olam Haba is great. You sit and you get to learn all day, no distractions. It's kavaldik. But if you're the type of person who can't bear to learn Torah, to be in a shir, and you're going to be stuck in that shir, right? And the clock's going to be like, you know, stuck. The hands are just like, keep ticking on the same like second, not moving forward, and you're just waiting for the shir to end. So that's going to be your Gehenim. Yeah?
If you're that person who really likes to learn Torah, but can't do it all the time.
Okay, so that's you know, each person, Hashem will work it out for you. The goal is to be the best version of yourself that you could be. We all have natural, you know, some people can't sit. Okay. But the goal is to make yourself, but again, inherently you are created muchan. You are created in a way that you're able to come to the Suda. It is within your reach. And look at the Maharal again says, the greatest tsar is when something is fit for you and you can't have it. When it's muchan for you and you're not able to access it. V'al yomar ki afim ein lo hamayla la'asid ma yet tsaro. So if you'll say, what's the big deal? So I didn't get to eat at the Suda. That's not so bad. It's not a punishment. Says the Maharal, that's the biggest punishment. Knowing something could be yours, and you made a choice to ruin yourself from accessing that thing, is the biggest punishment. That's why the Mashal has to tell us, you were invited, you could have been at the Suda. Chaval, that's the most painful experience. You had the opportunity, but you said the wrong thing, and you did the wrong thing, or you showed up late, and you missed the opportunity. Then you feel really bad, because it was shaykh to you. It was entirely relevant to you. And that's what the Mashal concludes. It's not going to be enough that you stand on the side as a waiter. It's not so bad, because, you know, you have a shaykhus to the Suda a little bit, you can eat in the kitchen a little bit, and you're not really invited anyways, you don't feel so bad that you lost out. No, you need to sit at the table, and think about the fact that you lost out on eating at the Suda. That is the biggest punishment. To know that Hashem says you were capable of being here, of being a certain type of Jew. I made you that you should be a certain type of Jew. And you didn't take advantage of it. That's the most painful feeling of all. Hashielam tzirof el ha-suda. You're not going to be a waiter who has some shayches to the suda. Aval eilu yiyu mizumanim l'suda ve'eilu roim. Ratzalomar ki la'asid adam muchan el olam haba. Valzeh nivra adam. Every person is created with the potential to go to olam haba. Like it says in Bereishis, vayitzer with two yud, b'shnei yudim. Yitzir b'olam hazeh v'yitzir b'olam haba. Ula olam haba kasher hayaroi lo olam haba v'eino mekabel olam haba. When a person realizes I could have had Olam Haba and I failed to access it because of I was too lazy to make the right choices, I didn't push myself, I had the invitation, but I showed up late, I didn't get myself ready. Davar zeh ein lamaleh menu b'chisaron b'chasar hu b'tzar. That's the greatest chisaron, that's the greatest void, that's the greatest failure. That Hashem invited you. Right? Hashem invited you to a party. And you had the ticket. You could have gone. You overslept. You missed the party. If you weren't invited, you wouldn't feel so bad. I would never expect to be invited. But you were invited. And he gave you a ticket. And he sent a car service to deliver you there. And then you chose not to show up. That's the biggest sar in the world. So that's the mashal. The king invited these servants. The kach harasha, and therefore those rasha, shebemakom shayu mukharim akabalas hamayla al yona, yuhem chaseir masheroy lehem v'davar zem mivuar v'inin asuda. If you want to understand more about the suda, he says, look in my writings on Pirkei Avos v'akol mitukan the suda. Everyone's invited to the suda. So here's Hashem. We should be the types of Jews. Hashem is reaching out to us. He's giving you a ticket. He's sending you a car service. He's doing everything he can to pull us into the suda. He wants us to feel very comfortable at the suda. Don't blow the opportunity and end up stuck at the table watching other people around you eat. Like that painful chazal that in Olam Haba every person is burnt by the chuppah of his friend, by the home that your friend built. You say to yourself, I could have built that home also. I could have been a davener like him. I could have been a learner like him. I could have refined my midos like him. Each person, again, lefi madrigaso. But to realize, if he did it, why couldn't I do it? If he had the ticket and he took advantage of it, why did I just leave that ticket on my dresser and not take advantage of the opportunity that the Melech offered me in coming to the beautiful Suda? We should all be zochet to sit together as a shir, as a chevra, with Gantz Chai Yisrael at the Suda of Olam Haba.